record show that we're all here except for Brandon and Alan. Welcome, everybody. We need a motion to approve the minutes from last month.
I've got one comment on the minutes.
Okay.
So from last time, under Roman numeral 3, there was this video we saw, and I was under the impression that the city of Vancouver was going to look at seeing if they could get a link to that on their electronic billing.
Okay.
And so I didn't see that reflected in the minutes. And I don't know whether this is the appropriate way to address that or what. I mean, whether they do it or not is a separate issue, but
yes,
some distracting it, that's what I would have.
That's an actionable item. I think it's easy to amend the minutes.
Yeah. Would you like for an amendment?
We could approve without amendment.
Okay. Can you make the motion to accept them without amendment?
I move that the minutes be accepted as amended.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Meeting minutes have been approved as amended. Nobody from County Health. So Pete, I guess I'll put you up first.
Okay. I am up first. Well, welcome. Thank you for your service. We appreciate that. This is a very important commission, and your recommendations are highly valued, and today we actually will be needing a recommendation because we're ready towards our grant submittal. So we'll be moving in that direction. That's an agenda item. Just some quick updates on our end, and then I've got the floor for some of the evening, so I'll capture more in depth. If you didn't see the Columbian, we were in the paper today. I don't know if folks saw that. Okay.
150,000 worth, yeah.
150,000. And I have had an opportunity, obviously, to be very involved in the discussions surrounding that. Just for this group's knowledge, it's an on-call contract that we bid competitively to do web page maintenance and design for our Solid Waste Environmental Education 5 web pages. And we have our Clark County Green Business, Green Neighbors, our Green School, Save Organic Scraps, Recycle Arts Festival, and our Volunteer Clark webpage. And it's over a 3-year period of time. And so just from a math standpoint, it's an on-call contract, so we don't have to expend any money. And when we do, we have to write a scope, a task order. If you take the 150, you divide it by 3, that's 50,000. You divide it by 5, that's 10,000 per website. You divide it by $90 an hour, which is what we had to pay competitively. It comes out to about 2.7 weeks per website that we're using these services for. And again, that's only after we have exhausted our inability to do it in-house. And some of the pieces that we need to do with those websites, we built these several years ago, all, for the most part, web surfing that's being done now is being done on mobile apps. So you've got to go in, redesign, all of that costs some money. So again, when folks see the $150,000 price tag to build a web page to possibly promote interests that they don't believe in, given our trust in the community right now with our department, it's spun out of control. So we're trying to bring that back, and I think there was a reasonably balanced news story today. And
so some of this will actually go for apps?
Some of it will go more for redesigning our web page, so when you pull it up, it resizes.
It won't be an app then?
No. Yes, it's web page design
and maintenance.
So you
could review it from your phone if
yes.
you wanted to.
Yep. And again, our web pages are not just, you know, here we are. They're interactive. We take registrations. We have videos. We have contents. And we are using Joomla, which is the number 2 platform used internationally. Number 1 is WordPress. Then there's Joomla and then there's Drupal. And Joomla allows you to do plugins. There's a lot of people writing for that application just like people write for PCs. So again, we feel that it's all, obviously, it's all towards our mission. It's all above board, and the more folks learn about it, the better, because it's positive.
Was the vote 3-0 on that, by the way?
The vote was 3-0. It passed on consent, 3-0.
Okay, and how many bidders were there, do you know?
We sent it out to seven. Our plan holders list had seven folks, and they were local. And we had two bidders. One came from not on the plan holders list. It was out of
door,
out of state, and they also didn't provide references, and it wasn't a complete application. So we ended up having one bidder, and they are Formations Design. They're located in the Fort Vancouver Trust.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I missed that. So what was that before one bidder
went? We sent out, we have a plan holders list. Richard went out and then he got locked out.
Okay.
Hey. Welcome.
Double locked doors.
Need protection in here.
Yeah. We had a plan holders list that went out to seven folks that we had researched that could do the job locally. We had one bidder from that list, and then one bidder from outside that list, and they were non-responsive. So we ended up with one bidder.
One bidder. Okay.
Yes. Which, again, we felt was sufficient. And they've been doing this.
Well, that sounds a lot better than what was in the paper.
I know, but you can't believe what you read in the paper all the time, can you?
Well, it's pretty much what you told us was going to happen anyway, or where you were going anyway.
Yes. I think the lesson here, there's always lessons to be learned. One is we do have perception issues, so if we have some kind of decision that may raise that, the shackles, that we are more progressive and
roll it out differently.
Either roll it out differently or make sure that we involve stakeholders or communication.
Let me ask this. Now, did they attend the counselor meeting and pick it off of there and then write the story, or did you have a press release?
The way I understand it is there was a group that was there separately to do farmland preservation through the transfer of development rights, talking about the comp plan. So they were there for the public comment period. And during this period, they heard, they could have commented, but they didn't. And then they quickly put it on their Facebook.
Well,
created the
this is a lesson learned. You yes. have a press release, and then that makes sure that the county side...
Your side of the story.
Yeah, me?
You get your side of the story out.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and it makes it much more plausible response from what you just described as compared to what I read in the paper.
Correct. Noted. Thank you.
Yeah.
Continuous improvement.
Any other questions on that?
Thank you.
We'll come back to you, Rich, or Tanya, or...
I think we rest.
Pardon?
We'll pass tonight.
You resting? Okay. Derek,
yes,
would
sir.
You like to make a comment, introduce yourself?
Derek Rath with Waste Connections, run the hauling company and the transfer stations here in town. I think everybody wants to know how many bales we have on site. That's going to be the hot topic for us. We're very excited to pass the 10,000 mark sometime next week. So.
Is that a new record, by the way?
By far.
Health department's not too bad on your case.
Not yet. We were by the site on Monday or Tuesday, and so everything's going okay.
Have I read that there's some pending resolution to the labor situation?
The labor resolution was resolved. The issue was resolved last week. Was there a meeting 2 weeks ago now? Yet we have failed to ship any export material since it has been resolved because there's so much,
other backlog.
Movement of things, and everybody's trying to get, there's just a lot of things going on for it. So we continue to stockpile material with hope that we're going to distribute the loot here soon, but doing those ones this summer.
Well, what's that done to the prices of the material? Are they stable, or?
They continue to fall. Cardboard. Most cardboard is a lot of it's domestic, and so it's somewhat stable. It's down about $5 a ton. The paper prices are down. They're down more than half of what they were 3 months ago. So 3 months ago, you could sell a bale of paper for $95 a ton. And right now, you can sell it for about $40 a ton. And we're expecting that to drop somewhere in the $5 to $10 a ton in the next month or so.
Just because there's so much supply.
Right. If I were a broker, I would just say, hey, I'll take off the fancy of the store and
May I make a comment on that? The way I understand this, and I mentioned this to Commissioner Brian Wolf about this being down in the port. It's not stored in the port.
It's not stored in the Port of Vancouver. No,
no, no. And it doesn't. And it, this stuff goes by barge, doesn't it, rather than on a freighter?
So the garbage goes from our transfer stations via container. They're compacted into a container and taken down to the Port of Vancouver, and then those are barged out to the landfill. The commodities or the recyclables are either trucked domestically to a mill or they're sent to the Seattle-Tacoma port for export.
Okay, so the longshoremen aren't involved in this except when it passes through the port. Is that correct?
The longshoreman issue are involved, right, only the
Okay, so, in other words, it really hasn't affected us except for that one choke point then.
Except for the recycling piece.
Yeah, right. Okay, I got it. I want to make that clear because I mentioned that at the CREDC meeting and Brian Wolf said, no. So, he corrected it. I think, Rich, you were in on that correspondence too, weren't you? Okay. I'm glad that was clarified.
Anything else, Dirk?
Nope.
Are you going to take Scott's place permanently, or just?
No, Scott had something else going on tonight. I'll probably poke my head in if there's things that I can speak to, or if you need me to speak to. Okay. I'm happy to attend as needed.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Okay, we come back to Green Business Showcases.
Okay, looks like I'm up for the next couple. Try to keep this lively. In your packet should be the invite for the Green Business Showcase. We've got extras. I think we are fixing a very minor typo on these. This is the early edition. And you are all cordially invited. We are having this at the Artillery Barracks over there in Fort Vancouver. We've got some good businesses coming through this year. I don't have a full list. New Seasons, BioClean, some pretty good ones that we're honoring. And it's a good gathering of folks. We've got 15 businesses that will be showcasing there. New Star is one of our businesses. You mentioned the port. I know they've been involved in some activities in the community. They'll be one of the 15. And we will have food and drink, Bill, so you might want to.
Definitely will show. It's an added incentive.
Yeah. And we have Sarah Kearns is our staff lead on this. She has she's been doing a great job. She also has a great AmeriCorps, Monica Fleischer, who's been helping as well. And we're looking forward to it. So it'll be a good celebration. On April 11th, we'll be out at Yakult. And we also, I think in your packets, have this list. And this should be a color copy. We're putting on 9 of these Recycling Day events, and our staff member Karen Underhill juggles this, literally juggling 9 balls at once. It's pretty impressive. We do our hazardous waste collection. I think we collected, 3,000 pounds at these events. We've got the stats. A good way for folks to properly handle that material. We were just touring Washougal. We're making a improvement to hold our event. It used to be at the Public Works Operations Center out in Washougal. We're now hosting it at the transfer station on the third Saturday when they are open to the public for hazardous waste collection. So that can hopefully train folks that service is available every month out in Washougal. And you can bring your tires, you can bring your electronics, you can bring your foam, you can bring your appliances, your hazardous waste, and some of the cities that we partner with also offer garbage in partnership with Waste Connections. So, real great regional partnership effort, a good way for us to be out with our programs, meeting with the cities, getting the work done with those staff members, and building those relationships. So again, a great program, and also funded through our grant, as we'll talk about. Finally, we have our Leichner Landfill Open House on April 23rd. And Mike Davis will be, he's our staff member leading this one. He'll be heading this effort, and he'll be coming to present to SWAC in April. There's quite a bit of work that's going on here. We're master planning the Leichner Landfill. We also have a property that we're remediating called Fleischer site, and
the county's remediating that.
The county got a grant to study that, and so he'll be presenting on the study report and where we're at. And we will be looking for some recommendations to move forward on that.
So where is those?
The Leichner Landfill. I might let Derek speak to that. Since
where is it located? It's off of Patton Parkway, just north of Patton Parkway on 94th Avenue. Ooh. So as you go up 205, take the Patton exit and head east. It's just about a mile off the parkway.
And it operated, it started in the 30s?
In the 30s, closed in 1991?
Yeah, 90 or 91.
So we are getting close. I don't think any landfill in the Washington State has been officially closed, but we are getting towards that stage.
Is there a staff report that's going to lay out alternatives and recommendations and background and all that stuff?
I think at this point he would be coming and presenting more in a PowerPoint piece.
Okay.
To get you that information. And again, we'll try to get you that in advance.
What could we get with the new members? Because some of us have gotten a pretty good background.
Sure.
Of information.
I'm sorry.
There was that consultant that was hired.
Mm-hmm.
Was his report something that we could...
We could probably digest those reports into some PowerPoints. Might be a good start. And certainly attach the reports as well.
I mean, because with new people that don't know it, who don't know what landfill is in the history, we've got to drag everybody.
Yes.
I don't mean drag everybody.
Well, I think it's a good opportunity just from our outreach standpoint. There are going to be quite a few folks. We're sending out an announcement to 2,000 neighbors in the vicinity to have them come and give us their comments and feedback. So we need to start from scratch.
Well, even the old handouts before the last hearing would probably help all the new people.
Yeah. We'll pull together a package.
Because that had, you know, things that really haven't changed out there since then.
Not really. Where is it going to be?
Waste Connections office, where it was there last time?
I think it's actually at a church out in that area.
It has access to the property.
It's going to be the church down the corner of 94th and Patton, and then I believe they're going to shuttle people to the property from there.
One piece that I wanted to mention to this group as part of this discussion, our county staff and the City of Vancouver staff and Waste Connections education staff meet every third Wednesday of the month, and that third Wednesday in April, we're going to be touring the landfill, which would be prior to this event. So we were going to extend the invite to all the SWAC members as part of that.
So what's the date again?
Let's see. Calendar, Andy. What's that?
4/23.
Third Wednesday.
The second?
Third. Is it
April 9th?
4/23.
That's the old house.
Oh, the.
No, I'm talking about.
It was educational tour.
Yeah, what's our joint staff? You got that, Ben? Second Wednesday?
I'm not sure what date that is.
Okay. Yeah,
April 8th. 2:00 to 3:30.
So we're working out the details on when the time will be, but look for that. April
8th.
Thank you.
Having visited that once, I'm really don't think it's worth my time to go out there and visit again unless there's something really changed an awful lot. The PowerPoint presentation would bring me up to speed. I don't know if everybody else wants to go out there and do that again, but I think I have a good idea of the picture there. PowerPoint would bring me up to speed. So.
Yeah, the tour is optional.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it,
yeah,
it's a pretty big area.
If you've got
been in the landfill, it gives you an idea how big that property is.
Yeah.
It'll also tie in
the topography
on
too.
On the north end of it, the county wants to run 99th through there. You'll get a feel for all the problems to run that street through for mitigation.
Yes.
I mean, I was used to it as a working landfill, so it's kind of interesting for me to see it as a closed one because it's been years since I've been out there. But we're going to do something with that property.
And a big piece of that discussion is, I want to say 20 acres was set aside. It's flat, light industrial land that was for a pump and treat potential, which we never needed to do. So it's ready to be developed, and that's part of this process.
So all the testing and everything has been done, you know what's there.
Yeah. And it was set aside land for worst case scenario, which we never had. So that's a real bonus, and that's the big piece.
Bring me up to speed on what the thing is about title to that property, and is there still something that has to be purchased out there to complete the total package or the state package, or how did that go?
Though some of those details, I think, would be best left to Mike.
Okay, on the presentation. Okay.
But there's a consent decree, and we're trying to get that. The question is the land going to be outside the consent decree, which means it's free and clear, which would be higher value, or is it stay within that area, the consent decree, and then still can be sold, but it's got like a lien.
Encumbered.
Great. Well, we will certainly keep you posted, and any and all opportunities to have you come would be great to any of those events.
Was the date on that the 8th, you said, Joe?
The 8th.
That's not the open house, that's the joint staff.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay.
That you're invited to join us
for the tour presentation.
Now, are you going to send the notice out to the Vancouver City Council on that? Because I got to report back to them on it.
About the open house or about the...
You said staff tour on the 8th?
Yeah. What's our accommodation out there, Pete? How many?
We're working through that. I said
okay,
that.
Yeah. Just let us know.
We'll be forthcoming. Right
next phase so that there's some people on the city council that really aren't up to speed on this. We've got two new members, et cetera. So I want to make sure that they're brought into this before, because I can't speak for the council. All I can do is report back to them and see what if they have any inputs at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a big moment. So we're getting close.
Yeah, some people carried that cross for a long time.
Yeah.
Is that right, Lisa?
Your coordination or your coordinated prevention grant.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. We met last time. We went through some numbers, and we're back with updated numbers. And our PowerPoint isn't the best, so hopefully we can look at it without turning out the lights, because I don't want to lose anyone, because it gets really dark in here. But just some quick background. The Department of Ecology has a tax on petroleum through the Model Toxics Control Act, I believe it's called, or MATCA. And that money comes back to counties. It's a directed grant, so we have a certain amount of money that comes to us based on our population. And it's about $1.7 million for a two-year period of time. And the grant has criteria for projects you can use to fund with those dollars. And it also has a requirement for regional participation in how the application is prepared. So we have been going through quite a lengthy process, some of which you have seen. So I'll pull this up, if I can turn this back on. And we'll kind of dive into the details. And I think, please, just we can open it up for questions at any time. Let's see. Is that going to be viewable? So our big number here is the $1.8 million. That's kind of our ballpark where we need to end up. And what I did there is I took our annual budget and just multiplied by two for the most part to get to that number. We are allowed to present in our application five tasks, and we have on the left you can see task number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we could just talk about each one of those tasks and kind of go through. Again, this is SWAT's opportunity to recommend how we go through our proposal. Let me just quickly back us up so you can see where we've been in our process. We met with Waste Connections and the city and really brainstormed how we could spend these dollars. And then we brought that list to you, to SWAC, back in December. And then we got comment from our regional partners. We did receive comments from the City of Vancouver and Washougal, which we incorporated. And then we prepared this draft budget, and that's what we shared with you back in February. Since then, I've had the opportunity to fine-tune with our grant officer. Her name's Tammy Ramsey. And then we met with City of Vancouver towards the end of February, and continue the revision process. I don't know if Rich or Tanya want to weigh in at all for that meeting, but it was a good opportunity really for staff to make sure we weren't missing any projects and that we had buy-in at the staff level. And I think we achieved that. So that was a big, good moment. And then the online application went live just the beginning of this month, and on Monday I will begin working on that with our grant officer in real time. So we're moving forward as a team, so there's no surprises with the city, there's no surprises with our grant officer, and should be no surprises with the regional partners. If when we get awarded the $1.7 million, there may be an article in the Columbian, but we'll try to preempt that with a press release.
Well, good idea.
Clarification, Pete.
Yes. Clarification is welcome.
The 1.7, 1.8 million is 100%.
Correct.
And of the state provides 75% of that. So
thank you.
25% is matched, but it's 100 or 1.2 million coming from the Department of College.
Correct.
I think it's right to plan for that the big number and even a little bit over, so that we've got plenty of we use up all the money.
And so here we are on March 5th, and we'll be presenting these details to SWAC and getting recommendation, because we do need to fill out this application and get it in. Ideally by March 16th. So getting back to our detail list, and this is really where we'll be for the next maybe 15 or 20 minutes. Don had recommended at our last meeting that we look at some areas that we've already funded and that Ecology has approved. And so in the status column there, that hopefully you can read, if it's SQ, that's status quo, that really means it's been in our previous grant applications, and we've had no problems getting those dollars approved. And the first task is a great opportunity, I mean a great example of how those grant dollars are intended to be used, which is really to deal with our hazardous waste. And so our 9 Recycle Day events, that's where we go out to the communities, collect the hazardous waste from folks. We also operate a paint take back program from 7 paint stores here in the county. And we partner on medication take back events. We did put in some money for household hazardous waste outreach and education. And that's primarily to try to let folks know that options exist every weekend, that they can bring this stuff into the fixed facilities, and also just really to use up your hazardous waste. And one of the pieces they talk about with paint is just to paint to your vertical line, and you'll never know the difference. So you just use it up the best you can. And we'll be working on that. Task 2, I think we'll want to spend a little more time on. These are new. If you look at the SWMP, that's the Solid Waste Management Plan reference, that's Chapter 18, which is the new economic waste to wealth, trying to take our local waste items and turn them into jobs and economic development, which I know Lisa spent a lot of time on, which we appreciate you being here. And SWAC also championed, and that's something new in our plan. The latex paint, I will pull up. Again, we have detailed budget on all of these items, but I want to pull up a couple of things here, and I'm going to work, if it's okay, a little bit with Rich, because he's been involved in our discussions. What we're trying to do with this paint project, and we've discussed this before, Metro and for the most part most paint operations are not looking at their end customer. They're just trying to collect their paint, process it, get it into the best color, 12 colors they can, and then market it. We have been working with an entrepreneur who feels that he can improve that system. And the way he would do that is he would actually collect the paint in 5 colors, which would be your primary colors, red, blue, and yellow, and black and white. And then based on some of these supplies and equipment, which you see here, the lab disperser, mixing kettles, a spectrophotometer, and some other items, he would be able to match specific 12 colors. So Metro right now, to get their green, they have to put in additives, they have to continually do paint swabs, and eventually they will get it. In this case, we would take our 3 primary colors of black and white, and we would know exactly what that paint is. He also wants to utilize pre-sorting in advance. Right now in Metro, all the paint comes in, it's checked to make sure it's latex, and then it's all sorted into the 12 colors. Some paints, for instance, exterior latex is a higher grade quality, so if you can actually separate that out, you can start to get a higher end product. So we could potentially have multi-sortings within those primary colors. Does that sound about right?
That's great.
And we have gotten approval from our grant officer to move ahead with this. I know we've met some with Don. I do have a spreadsheet that really goes into the fine details of how this would pencil out. But the bottom line here is right now the way the paint is handled, it comes into our fixed facility in a tote, sorted and put into a tote, and then Waste Connections on average pays about $180 per Gaylord, and then that goes to fill up for their transportation and then shipping to Illinois. I think, is it Illinois?
One's in Illinois and one's in California.
Yeah, I think ours is going, the fixed facilities goes to Illinois. And then what we collected our mobile city events goes to California because we had better control of making sure that was recycled. And we didn't have as much control over the fixed facility centers. So the hope here is that that's about $100,000, $150,000 just in transportation and processing costs that's going out of the community that could be applied to this project. And then on top of that, there's marketing from the sales of the paint, and you can run all those numbers, and we're trying to crunch that data. And our partner in this effort would be the GL Work Center to start off with, because they have warehouse, they have labor to help with the sorting. But the ultimate goal is to prove this works, prove that there are end markets that want this material, and then be prepared for when paint care comes. And then if we can seize that opportunity and expand it to process the entire state's paint or a certain amount of the state's paint, then it becomes a private enterprise and goes down that path. So that,
where will these items be placed?
These items will be placed by the grant, and they'd be owned by the grant, and they'd be placed in the GL Work Center. And I don't know the full story, but the GL Work Center has only a certain lifespan, and then it's going to be paved over for more port development. So I think they have 4 to 5 years there. So our timing is okay, and then at that point the material would either be surplused or amortized. And right now, I can't remember what Metro's prices were on selling their latex paint, but it's pretty low. And the intent, you know, a premium gallon of paint's $30. So there is room to compete with a known product if you can prove it. And again, there's risk involved here. But Rich and I have both met, and I think we agree that it's worth giving the potential of paint care to do it the right way and to prove that we are innovative.
Well, you're going to go through an RFP process in this anyway, aren't you?
Some of these items, if they're less than $25,000, we just need 3 quotes. And because they're all different pieces, we can purchase those.
If it would. I mean, for this fellow's services.
And then we've discussed different options on the entrepreneur services. One is, we recently had a retirement, Jim Mansfield, who served the county for 17 years, was our hazardous waste expert. We could potentially, for a 6-month period of time, because we're working shorthanded right now, bring him on as a temporary status, making that same $35.35 an hour. So that would, again, allow us, given our purchasing practices, to move that forward.
Well, that's what we've been trying to do with economic reuse and redevelopment.
Yeah, and worst case scenario, we've got the equipment. And
worst case, we take the lids off of it and let it dry out. And
exactly. Exactly. And we have been a leader in recycling paint. Most of the counties in Washington State are, what do they call it? Bulking or?
Drying it out.
Solidifying. So that's the story there. We can certainly add more details. Stephen, I know you're my budget man. I was going to get you the big budget, but he's helping me fine tune it first.
Okay.
So I wanted to let his eyes work on it. Yeah. I'll get it to you. Coming back, we have electronics reuse. I know Tanya gave a great overview at the last SWAC meeting. But we are looking here. State, of course, has passed Electronics Recycling Act, which has been very successful. But again, from a value add, we're looking at contracting with a nonprofit, and there is one that exists today, Power Up, that would take electronics and rather than have it recycled, they would refurbish And then reuse is higher up the waste hierarchy. And that's our proposal on this one. And again, our grant officer is on board with it. She does have some questions on measuring our outcomes. And I think we can get her that information she needs. I don't know if you want to add.
I think that's good for me.
Block foam collection. I don't know if we're generating many big jobs on this one, but it is a difficult to handle waste item, and we have a fixed facility in the county so folks can bring foam 5 days a week, I believe it is. Or is it 6 days a week? No.
Sorry,
keep going on Power Up.
Tuesday through
Saturday, you can actually drop off your foam, and we have a contract to pay them to provide that service. We did get quotes to provide that service, and we were hoping the transportation, but I don't think you want to have anything to do with big piles of foam. So, again, we're hoping to have this one grant funded, and we will be revising that one. It's a lot of money to handle that material.
Just to keep doing that? Because, I mean, what is the $50,000 or whatever?
$25,000 a year, $50,000 for the 2 year period. And what that does is it pays to have that material collected, have the hours of operation available from Tuesday through Saturday, and then processed.
So it's not changing anything of what we're doing?
This one is status quo.
Okay.
Yep. And that is a good.
And if we go to the website, we can find where that facility is and just as a person up the street and use it?
Yes. And especially if you use our widget or our A to Z.
Okay.
Then you want to download the app?
Type in block foam and.
Next time you'll do it, right?
What's the app?
Oh, it's our recycling A to Z.
Right on the back
yeah.
of this page.
Check it out. You'll love it.
Always good to.
Can I throw in another piece while you're on the
You can, yep.
So we went to a workshop in Seattle on Friday, and heard from a woman who used to work at IKEA, and when she was working there, one of her jobs was to kind of like take all of this block foam that comes on all their stuff and then put it in a box and all the landfill. She started asking the question, what can we do with this? And as a result, they got a densifier, and again, this was 8 years ago when she started. She was kind of working in their extra, you know, their extra garage that was kind of available. They kicked her out when they needed the garage again for parking. And she started doing the business, and now she has 12 employees that work with her full-time, good waste jobs, recycling block foam from the whole Puget Sound area, basically, densifying and shipping it to markets, both domestic and so
how does she reprocess it?
You basically melt it down. So a lot of the expanded polystyrene is air. And by melting it down through, I think, a pug mill sort of thing, they get like 90% volume reduction and put it in a box in Gaylord and ship it to somebody. And then they make it into whatever sort of like a trim or wind frames. I mean, it's still a valuable commodity. So maybe something, you know, then having the collection piece and coming up with sufficient volume to be able to do that, you know, whole revenue piece is kind of a challenge. But I think the collection piece is a start to that. And if people get together and find out, hey, you know, Vancouver's got enough, or maybe we can get some from the Portland area, again, it could be another opportunity for local business that would make jobs.
Well, I think a lot of us, you know, I get an electronic piece in there, and there's, you know, some not real big pieces in there, and I just throw them into my garbage. break them up and drop them in there. Is that, you want us now to put that into the recycle?
Well, if you're available to open to doing that, I mean, putting it in the garbage is just fine, but a lot of people will get real big stuff,
yeah.
And they'll fill two garbage carts. And there are charges for that if you come and get it picked up. So if you want to save some money, you've got a lot of it. It makes sense to take it and recycle.
At the drop-off station, it can't go in the
cart. Not in the cart. Yeah, not in the recycling cart.
I didn't think so.
To Empower Up is a
yeah, they're the current contractor.
I take it to St. John's, right? Is that where that place is? That's a great place.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. That's the place.
I'm going to drive all the way there and then pay a fee to drop it off.
No fee.
Oh, you have to sign your name.
We pay the fee.
Yep.
It's a wonderful place. I mean, it takes you about 2 seconds once you go over there.
So you have
and
a
big
bag
also
in your garage.
Pardon me?
You'll have a big bag in your garage collecting for a few months, and then you just swing it by when you're on your way somewhere else.
I don't have any room in my garage. It's full of my wife's beads and arts and crafts. So,
oh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Hang it from the rafters.
The bike's up there.
You're out of luck, buddy.
That's exactly the point.
Okay, good discussion. Thank you. And I did make that change here. It is a status quo. Okay, task number three. These are clean cart campaigns, and we did have information to visit our multifamily carts and clean those up in our current grant. We've expanded the campaign or initiative to include our 100,000 blue carts that are around the county. And we need to come and present that information to you. It's more of an education outreach event. And probably the best time would be in May. We're going to be kicking that off end of April, where we actually come out and visit 1/5 of the county's recycling carts, which is about 20,000. And as long as we can keep ahead of the garbage trucks, we will be doing a quick visual inspection and letting folks know if they put foam in or plastic bags in the glass, and we saw that video. So giving direct feedback. And as part of this, it is a pilot, so we will be doing a characterization study towards the end of this month, where we look at the material that comes in from the carts, and then we do our campaign, and then we look at the material from those carts that we've outreached to and see if there's improvement. And we'll be tracking all that data. So this is a pretty big outreach effort. And again, Tanya, you've been sitting in on some of that. I don't know if you want to share anything here. You know, not to put you on the spot. You don't have to.
No, I think I'm excited for the results, and it'll be interesting to see what we find out.
And from an outcome standpoint, one of the issues that we always have is contamination. And so those levels vary anywhere from about 10% to 20% in the multifamily. So we want to see those numbers come down, and again, we'll be measuring those. And we also want to see our tonnages increase. So we're hoping that by actually outreaching to folks, letting them know what's in there, trying to do some social media campaigns, we've got some prizes, trying to make it fun and cool, the culture of recycling, that we can increase our tonnages as well. And those are easy metrics to maintain. So that is the Clean Cart campaign.
How clean is food? Plastic have to be, I mean, there's always questions. I mean, you wash your yogurt container out or the those frozen meals or whatever that have the plastic containers. How clean does that stuff have to be? I mean, people always have questions, myself included. Is there an answer to that? Is that a contamination that it can't be used if it's not clean?
It should be clean.
So if you throw that in there and it's not totally clean, then you're contaminated.
Possibly.
I mean, I've been asked that, and I'm not sure what the answer is.
The more contamination we're worried about, I think, is the type of container. So if it's a container that's accepted in the program, so I think for plastic containers, it needs to be six ounces or larger. So that would be like yogurt would pass. The little food trays for microwave don't pass. That's not something we take.
So even if it has the number on it.
Right, not in the curbside. Now there's opportunity to take some of that to the transfer station. So, but if you look at the
we'll be looking in your cart
carts or some of the links that they buy And then Waste Connection sends out an annual newsletter that has a lot of detail on what's acceptable and what's not. Like clamshells? No. Styrofoam? No. Or you like meat trays? No. So don't really want lids unless they're attached to the bottle. So as long as you get the right types of plastic in there, that's the first piece. The other piece is kind of like, if you rinse them out so they're mostly clean, that's fine. I mean, and bottles should be empty of the liquids. But you don't need to put them to the dishwasher or anything like that. You can just rinse them. Peanut butter jar is always kind of a question. Is it worth kind of taking and cleaning, or, you know?
What do you do?
I do it.
Like, I would scrape mine as clean as I can get it, flicker and a whistle in there.
And like and the city, if you live in the city, you know, you pay your water rates, and that's cool.
Was there a more detailed list?
And the list, it breaks down to bottles and tubs. Okay. Those are the plastics we accept. And it's part of tubs, nursery pots, and 5-gallon buckets.
And I might just add on the food question that it's a public health issue as well. People handle your recycling gets baled, it gets moved around, and so by the time it arrives at the end market, if it has mold or food that may attract bugs or vectors, that's not good for anybody. So you just try and get as much of it out as you can. It's not really okay to just sort of empty the soup and then chuck it in there. I mean, it'll probably still be recyclable, but along the way, it can cause problems.
Come to my house.
Well, these are all great discussions, and we really
Can I ask a question about this? What's the thing that Seattle's done up there? There's a fine for throwing food into some of the your disposal. How does that work?
Referring to their mandatory food waste recycling.
I think that's what they call it. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I don't know a lot about it, but I just happened to read an article when I was in Seattle over the weekend that now residents are required to divert food waste from their garbage. So that means they will actually look in your garbage, and if you have a certain percentage of food waste in there, you're in violation of the code.
What's a citizen supposed to do with it?
They put it in their yard waste. They need to just put it in a different container.
And if I'm in an apartment, I don't have yard waste.
They have that at apartments.
At apartments.
Yes, they don't. It's not where you. They have services available for you. They just want you to get them in the right cart.
Okay.
This is a good segue to our fourth task.
I got a question. I'm dying to know the answer to this. Are they going to have a garbage police and write tickets?
Seattle.
Okay, go ahead, Pete.
I had
to make a smart effort.
They are going to have the right
thing. Yeah, they are going to.
And they're calling the Gestapo, is that it?
For the first 6 months, it's a friendly warning.
It's friendly. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate it.
Dollar per infraction for households. $50 per breach by apartment buildings.
Okay.
Thank you.
Information. Okay, task number four. This is our organics task. We have a master composter recycler program, very successful. They're training 30 new prospective master composter recyclers as we speak. I think their training is tonight. This is pretty much a pass-through cost and a very eligible grant cost, and it's one we've had in all of our previous grants with the status quo. The next two are new. We are looking at trying to do food waste prevention. So this is where we want to get to looking at both residential and business. There are quite a few, well, the US EPA, and I think they've partnered, they've come out with a food too good to waste marketing campaign. Toolkit. So one of the options is to really utilize what's already out there that other communities are doing and try to educate, possibly visit, again, doing what we can within our tools to get the change that we're looking for, which is that folks throw away, I think it's 30, it's a huge amount of money. Thurston County's got a good video that just starts off, they come back from the grocery store, they've got all their food and their bags, and they start taking out the food and just putting it in the trash, you know, brand new food, and then that represents how much is wasted of your
So this is targeted for
homes. So it's targeted for homes, and then we also want to have the campaign to target our businesses. We've got a number of businesses. I think there's 28 big box stores that we've identified. Only a third of those are composting right now, so we see improvement just in terms of getting them to compost, and then through that partnership, getting them more into the prevention side. Or donation.
What you said is you put the food waste in Seattle and you put it in with your yard waste or whatever. Well, if you don't have yard waste, then what is this? How are you going to prevent that if I don't have something for yard waste?
And that's actually, I'm sorry.
No, this is great.
This program is not about hauling or collection of food waste. It's preventing it at the source. So you don't even put it, it's talking about the food that could have been eaten, not banana peels or apple cores or anything like that. You can have backyard composting for that. But we are not contemplating in this particular program having a food waste collected with yard waste program. So that will not be an option for us. We're working on the eat the food you buy side.
More to come. We are going to need to identify some additional resources to roll out this. This is something that we haven't done. I think it is exciting. There's certainly a lot of movement to start to target food rather than it going into a trash can or at best into a yard-debris cart.
Perhaps you could explain something to me. I have a little problem here. My wife, for instance, will sometimes will cook up something and we only eat half of it. Now, to us, it goes in the garbage disposal.
Sure.
Okay, now some people don't have garbage disposal, so then they're supposed to compost that, or I guess I'm not understanding what exactly it is.
For lunch tomorrow.
Yeah, and then I dig it out of the back of the refrigerator, and it's got some kind of a science experiment. I don't think I would eat that. So I mean, you know, that's.
Those are some of the behaviors that are targeted.
Yeah.
Talking about how do you use your leftovers if you don't. Maybe you need to cut in half the food you're preparing. If not, it goes in the garbage and it's hauled away.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. Tanya has been involved in this piece. Lead the charge.
If you put it in more garbage disposal, can you increase your loading on your wastewater treatment?
Yes, and we have a wastewater
septic system
engineer here at Fatsoil in Greece.
Yeah.
That's what a garbage disposal is for.
Someone else's problem.
So I had to throw away my garbage disposal.
Canvas told us when we were looking at a place for canvas, which we didn't buy, because it's got a garbage disposal somewhere you're not supposed to use it. That's what you put it in for. So, I mean, but it does. It puts loading on the wastewater treatment plant, which eventually then you have to increase the capacity if everybody does it.
Okay.
All of these programs now, how is that shared with the city? Because obviously I see you're working together on a lot of them. Have you got an agreement on who's doing what, and is that in the budget or somewhere else?
So all of the cities, Vancouver and the other cities as well, are partners with Clark County through interlocal agreements, both to be participating in the plan and to coordinate on our efforts. And as the county develops a CPG list, they send that to the cities, and that's why we provided some comments back in June and January. So that was in response to their request. Any ideas, this is what we're thinking. So we provided our feedback, and what people did. And then as you have the list, after SWAC reviews it, it goes back out to the cities and says, this is what we're going to submit, and we're submitting next week or whatever, as soon as all the online stuff's done. And they can have input on that and say, oh, we've got a question on it, just clarify. But we work together to get a program that makes sense. And and I think we added this to the plan, so part of the reason it's called a coordinated prevention grant is because there is assumed coordination that happens. If you don't have that coordination, you know, if Yakult says, wait a minute, we never heard from the county and we're not happy with what they've got, they even just ask the question, then you get, I don't know, is it 10% off the grant or something like that? So it's in the interest of everybody to have some coordination, some agreement on, yeah, okay, this seems like a good list of things to move ahead with.
And then the money would come through to the county and then implement. Okay, great discussion. Our last task here, I know this is a lot of detail, is our school task. We have a very, we're number one in the state with our Green Schools partnership with a nonprofit called the Washington Green Schools. And our payment to them is $35,000 a year to assist. We've got 40 schools that are certified, and that's the largest number, even though we're not the largest county. So we are ahead on all fronts there. They put on a summit for us. I do a lot of good work, teacher trainings. And in addition, we put in money to actually do education and outreach in the schools. And this one is really, it's partially status quo, and then partially some of it is new. So that gets us to our magic number where we need to be. Because our goal, of course, is to spend down the grant. And do our mission and meet the needs of recommendations from SWAC and our regional partners. So at that point, unless there are questions, we certainly can have more discussion. But what I would like to get from this commission would be a recommendation to move forward, to submit to our regional partners, and if they are fine, to apply.
Can I ask a question? I would just like to know, because it was always, and Don and I worked very hard to make sure everybody always touched base. And I know we have a number of new people. Has everybody reached out to the sectors, in your responsibility, according to the state legislature, is to represent a certain sector. In essence, that is what you are doing. We're not here, to report on what's happening in your own household. And I guess I just want to make sure, on the part of the county, that the county is very certain to include, the people here. If, I hear, Washougal, thank goodness, they chimed in. I've heard that, besides. And some of the others, and I know, Simone, you're new, because I know you're representing some of the areas that are near and dear to my heart, but I think it's really important that each group, really, when you're asked to sign off on something like this, to really know in your heart that this is the most important thing to those sectors that you represent. And so I just had to say that, because I spent a lot of time, I've represented small cities and towns, and knocking on their door, and some of them did not put me first on the agenda. I had to sit until almost 11 o'clock at night before I could say, hey, I'm here from your SWAC, and I want to know, because I'm going to be asked by the county, do I support this? And if you don't know if your sectors want this, I would highly recommend that you go back and speak to the groups that you are representing and say, is food waste really the most important? I'm not making, I didn't pick on food waste. But are each one of these items? Because if you don't ask, then the process goes through, and then I have to wonder if what the state intended is really working. And what was that? This is a very serious, this is one of three commissions that is legislated by the state. And so I just want to make sure that now that I'm out in the citizens' wing here, that you guys are asking. My phone's not ringing, except every now and then I hear from you.
So that's a great question. And this is my third meeting. And actually, when I interviewed for this job with the county commissioners, I said, they had asked me a bunch of questions and stuff, and it was my turn to ask a question. I said, well, what is it that is the role that you would see me or somebody performing? And their response was, well, you've just described it. Okay, which, I sell this stuff, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what that means, really. So I came away not really knowing what it is my role is going to be. So to your question, and I represent Northern Clark County. I've done zero outreach and haven't the foggiest clue about how I would affect that to get input from Northern Clark County on these kinds of issues. I'm certainly open to some advice, but in 3 meetings I've been here, I've done none. I mean, I have my opinions, I've got my background, stuff like that. So that's my answer to your question. My second observation would be, I come from a background where I'm used to doing budget stuff and writing proposals for city councils and so on and so forth. And in addition to doing the numbers, I have some background in a narrative describing programs. Here's what it is, here's the scope, here's the methodology, all that kind of stuff. And I've got written text I can look at. And I can look at it and say, oh, I understand this, it makes sense, or I don't understand this. I need to ask questions so I can make a better product to put in front of an elected body to help them make a decision based on a staff recommendation. So for me, when I look at these bullets,
sure,
they're pretty opaque.
Yeah.
They don't mean a lot to me.
Sure.
Your narrative and discussion is helpful.
Sure.
But for me, what's always more helpful, if I've got something to read in advance and I show up, mm-hmm. then I've either got answers or I know where the questions are for me to ask. So that's the other thing I think of, because at least then I can make an informed judgment on my own, lacking community input, about priorities that we're being asked to sign off on.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's burdensome. I don't have a clue about whether that's...
When the application is completed, we would be in that place where it's fully scoped out with the narrative and the budget, I think, because it just went online. And it's a time constraint issue.
I'd like to make an input, Lisa. Today's my fourth meeting of the day, and I have family and I have a wife, and for me to go out and do a neighborhood canvas, even when I'm running for office, I don't have the hours in my day. I have 5,000 unanswered, unopened emails in my personal one, and about 120 in the city of them. And I try to pick those up that are priority. I don't know where I would have time to do that.
Well,
I do go to neighborhood associations. I talk to people. When people come into city council, oftentimes I'll go out and mingle with them and talk. So that's the way I get my feedback. And it's a matter that I just don't have enough hours in my day to, quote, canvass the neighborhood. So maybe you want to define that canvass the neighborhood and give us a better description. I think
and having served with Jeannie for a number of years on this, I believe that Jeannie always bounced things off of the council. I'm not sure that you were on the council at the city at the same time that Jeannie was.
She was my... guidance and
when she reported here she was always foremost that this was the discussion at the city level, and I am aware for others and I didn't serve in that capacity, and certainly I don't want to speak for that, but for the position of representing cities and towns, I did try to reach out to the neighborhood. But I did go and meet with, if there was a mayor, or if the mayor designated a public works official, or if there was someone else. And I know that before your term, Pete, we had tried, very hard for when these collaborations happen, oftentimes the communication from staff saying, hey, we're going out to the city of Washougal, and that impacts, whoever that is on this group. It would be appropriate for anyone from this group to let staff know, I want to be a part of them. So that's my sector and that's my responsibility. And if you don't, I think staff will be kind and they do the yeoman's task of work. But as a citizen, I take that very seriously, and I hope that you are checking, because otherwise there are no checks and balances here. It is just going that this is happening, and we're all sitting here and we're watching this happen.
Get the big rubber stamp out.
And I wasn't going to go that far.
Well, I'll take it there for you.
Not necessarily. Speaking from my perspective, when we've gone through, use transfer siting at Washougal. Okay, I represent the solid waste industry, so to speak, but I went to Camas, I went to Washougal, talked to the public works people, went to the hearings, did all the public stuff with that. And we all try to give back to our community. That's why we're here. I appreciate what you're saying. And I think you're right, we need to think about that. And that's all.
And then I have the additional thing that the gentleman there on your right has, over the Sunday night, wrote me about a 5-page explanation, and I want to thank you again for giving me your weekend on that, because I had a couple of questions, and also meet with the public works director. So, I mean, there's an inner process that we have in the city of Vancouver, and I don't know if the rest of the people representing your other areas there, that you have a staff that responds as well as we do in Vancouver. And also the public works director has a history, and he has been to a lot of these meetings, interlocal meetings and interlocal agreements, etc. So from that standpoint, I think that I have access to a tremendous amount of history and you know, real experiences, and then being able to put forth and make a value judgment here and support the items that that the city asks for. And now the other members of the council don't get that depth of, and I just give them a brief overview, and then if they have specific questions, then we go back and get a report out of the public works. And Rich does a fine job in that, as I said. So I think that a lot of people gather this information from various sources, and we try to put that together. And as you know, it does take a commitment other than just meeting here once a month.
I think, Lindy, I think what you have to say has incredible merit. But also, I think we come to the table from our communities as representatives, and I think about this, all the things that are laid out from that perspective, my community perspective that I've lived in for decades. So I feel that has value as well, because that is my lens that I see this. I'm really integrated into the community, and I know the people, and so I really like your idea of reaching out and being more, I guess, engaged. But we should also realize that as we come here, we bring that with us a little bit, a lot. So that's one thing that I think.
If you were to, just really quick, if I went out to constituents just in my neighborhood and talked to them, and I said, this is what we're doing, what about the latex paint program? They wouldn't even know what latex paint was. Is that their priority? I mean, so somehow you have to use some knowledge, and I'm sure that your department wouldn't want me running out and running meetings with the community and surprising everybody. I understand what you're saying. I don't think it's going to happen that way, though. I think it's got to come from the department down, rather than, if you think that I'm going to go out and run community meetings, that's never going to happen.
Well, and I'm not asking that. I certainly don't want to dismiss the value of anyone here because it is an intense process, and you should all be applauded and congratulated for serving. And we have said for many years, we all have better things to do on a Thursday evening than to sit like this. And there is a great, I think, respect among everybody sitting in this room, myself, and I wouldn't be sitting here on my own time like this. You know, not that I'm getting any bigger paycheck than what you're getting on the outside of the table. But what I do want to just emphasize is that, you know, certainly you don't have the crowds that the commissioners have at their meetings, but the importance, and by state legislation, you are here because state legislation says that you will make the recommendation to the county commissioners. And more than once, things have come through. If you follow the county commissioners meeting, then these impacts get reported. And you are the folks who are credited with those decisions, that it is through your recommendation. So my point is only to take it very seriously. I'm not saying that nobody's not doing their homework or no one is not eligible, because you wouldn't be here if you weren't eligible to be sitting here. I want to be very clear on that. But I do want to emphasize the importance of understanding, you know, because when everybody wants to get out here, and I know I was always pushing feet, let's get done, can we make it done in an hour? And it is very easy to go home very quickly and to kind of go through this. But the importance of this is going to resurrect itself over the next couple of months. It's going to go through the official process and all the way, reach all the way up to the state and all the representatives that work here with Clark County. And it all comes back. And I just want to make sure. I've always been very pleased, and I'll speak, I'll include Don in that, and of the others that I've had the pleasure of working with through this, and that to say that our names went on this. I've always been very pleased by that outcome. And I don't want to disinclude Waste Connections, because they're great partners and we're lucky to have them. But I just want to make the point that please do not just think that, okay, somebody has done the homework, because it is our responsibility, and that is why I still come, because it is important. I don't want to have to sit here until 9, 10 o'clock at night like we used to. So thank you for your work. That was all I wanted to say.
I'll entertain a motion to ask the county to proceed with this.
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? What's your recommendation?
Thank
please
you.
Please come back.
One other question. Could you sometime, being a new kid on the block, all these ORGs and WRRs and
yes.
MRWs, and I mean all these
acronyms
yep. that you have here, can you make a little syllabus or something like that where when
yes.
I see that, I know what you're talking about?
Yes. And I think to Stephen's point as well, you know, having this a little more presentable would help.
I'm happy to do the homework in advance of the meeting.
Exactly.
If I've got the materials to give you, I read the plan,
yep.
you got my edits.
Yes.
I may not have understood the context for stuff,
sure.
but I'm happy to do the work.
Yep.
And I'll come with my questions or I'll say, I understand.
Yep.
One way or the other.
And the issue here is, again, as the process shows, it's a back and forth with the grant officer to actually get, and with the city to get this list finalized. And so I think if we had another perfect world, perfect case scenario, another 2 months, we would now be at the place where here's where we've all gotten to, the grant officer's on board, city's on board. Now I'll scope it out like it's going to go in the grant, which is where I was hoping we would be.
But Pete, just real quick, go with the five programs and what's the information about.
Yes, so thank you. MRW is moderate risk waste, and that includes hazardous waste. And WRR is waste reduction and recycling. ORG is organics, and then we're back to waste reduction and recycling. And those are the categories that we're given through the state grant to work with.
And my guess is, if in the plan, you're going to see references to all those things.
Yeah.
But it'll be, yeah.
They'll be spelled out.
They'll be spelled out, yes.
Okay.
So it's a long, lengthy process, and I think we've been more transparent than the past go-around. So we're making improvements, but still more improvements to be made. Okay. Thank you.
That's pretty much covered everything.
Well, contract work, that formation.
We talked about that one.
But that's, I think, where we stopped, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yeah, we did do green schools, right?
So the green schools got renewed, and that's at $35,000 a year. That's to administer the efforts in our 100-plus schools. Impact bioenergy. This is a study that we have. We competitively went out for bid, and it's also one of our recommendations in our solid waste management plan. We have potential organics processing capacity shortages. This will look in the region to make sure that there is capacity to moving forward over a 20-year horizon to take our food, our yard debris, wood waste, and have that material processed. It also will look at any options or opportunities to do that locally. Right now, all of our organic material is shipped out of county, processed over in Oregon or in Dallas-Fort in eastern Washington. This one will be concluded by the end of June, and we will have the consultant come and present those findings to this body. Bell & Associates, Inc., we're working in partnership with the City of Vancouver. They are going to be looking at waste connections, some of the rates that we charge. Again, I'm not sure. The city's got their own process, but this consultant will be coming and looking at how we charge our yard debris rates, also how all of our revenue checks come in from waste connections. It's really more of an accounting audit on our rate setting and how the money flows. And so that will be of interest, and we'll be reporting that back to you. And the city's got a different slant on it, which is...
Yeah, we're partnering because we share a contractor, and some of the requirements of our contracts are similar. So it's just a third-party check of contractor performance. We'll be looking at their reporting methods, if there are any improvements that can be made or efficiencies that can be gained in reporting out on the contract. And then we have a commercial recycling program in the City of Vancouver that we'll take a closer look at to see if there's better ways to improve that service.
Questions on those items?
I don't have enough to ask the questions. I used to participate in the rate process for the City of San Jose for garbage recycling services. I mean, we were doing almost $100 million a year worth of business. And we bring rate recommendations forward to the City Council. And it was a highly political exercise. And we do rate notifications 3 years out saying, we want to raise rates by 9% a year over the next 3 years. So there's a lot that goes into it. If this sounds more like, and tell me if I'm wrong, are you getting paid what you ought to get paid from your contractors? Or in terms of, it sounds like dollars flowing back and forth.
We just want to make sure that all of the processes that we've got in place are being...
The rates here, the city establishes their own rate.
Right.
But the rates in the county for garbage are set by the Utilities and Transportation Commission.
Right.
The yard debris recycling rates in the county are contracts that are negotiated. I think the way I read this, it's an overview to make sure everything is working correctly and accounted for. Is that right?
It's, yes. So the county's working with this consultant. The city's working simultaneously. We're looking at some shared pieces and then some county-specific, some city-specific.
Okay.
It's more of a performance audit. Again, more information that will be coming back.
Our plan.
Okay, the final moment, and I again appreciate everyone's time. I received from the Washington Utilities Transportation Commission that they have reviewed our cost assessment, which is a required component, and they accepted it without any further comment. We have checked that box. So at this point, we are now just waiting for Ecology. We will have those comments, if there are any, put in, and then that becomes the final document. They have 45 days to review that, then we bring it to all the councils and the commission, or the councilors, for final adoption, and then the plan is done.
Pete, who's the letter from?
It's the Washington State Utilities and Transportation Commission, WUTC.
Does anybody have anything else you would like to bring up?
I have another yard. I do have a clarification. Is there an attendance requirement to be on this commission?
There's an attendance requirement, and funny you bring that up.
Find it.
You guys work this out ahead of time?
No.
Well, it's raise its head for another reason that I didn't want to bring up yet tonight. Under section 5, and I'll give you this room, Clark County Solid Waste Advisory Commission rules and procedures. Section 5 describes absence of members. In the event a member is absent for 3 or more consecutive meetings, or absent 50% of all meetings during a 12-month period, the member shall lose his or her position on SWAC. The reason it was brought up earlier this week, is we have a state legislator on the staff, and I've been in contact with him to see what he would like to do, how he wants to handle it. I hope to be able to talk to him this weekend. Emails is not my best way of communicating. I'd like to give him the opportunity to tell us what he would like to do. If he would like to stay on board, I've asked for a legal review from the county if we need to change this or whether we can make an exception. I'd like to believe that we can just make an exception because of legislative commitments. And I'll have more at the next meeting.
Appreciate that. Thanks.
He came on board here before he was elected to office.
That's correct. And like so many things, you get involved in community events. And as you can speak to, being on a council, I was on a small city council, your time just can get devoured. So, you can pass that down to Ram.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Is there anything else? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.